hunters. You get a front row seat at a bargain price. Om Agyanatmiran Hasya Gyananjana Sadakaya Chakshurin Militam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Jain Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Sudati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostate, Tapta Kamshina Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Rishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vansha Kalpataru Vyascha, Kripa Sindho Bhaiva Cha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you all for coming. Is this loud enough? Or does it need to be a touch louder? Hare Krishna, oh isn't that good? Yes. Thank you. We'll read today from a new book. This is Krishna Lila Stava of Srila Sanatana Goswami, with translation and commentary by Gopi Pranavana Prabhu, just published by DBT. Srila Sanatana Goswami wrote four books, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which we already have, Krishna Lila Stava, then Hari Bhakti Vilas, and a commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. These are his four works. Of these four, Krishna Lila Stava is the shortest and simplest. Stava means prayers. So the Krishna Lila Stava recounts the lilas, or pastimes, of Sri Krishna in the form of prayers. Actually, he begins from the, he recounts Krishna's pastimes as told in the 10th canto, up through the killing of Kamsa, and a little past that. And in summary, he summarizes these activities, all by offering prayers. It's all practically all vocative. Oh Krishna, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this. And he punctuates these prayers, or intersperses these prayers with obeisances, or the prayers take the form of obeisances, 108 dandavats or pranams, obeisances to the Lord. And then at the end there are some also some further short prayers to Lord Jagannath, to Srimad Bhagavatam, and so on. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita brings us all over the universe and beyond. Krishna Lila Stava brings us more into the brings us into the heart of Srila Sanatana Goswami. It shows us his humility and his taste for Krishna Lila and devotional service, his exceedingly great taste for devotional service to the Lord. And it provides a very nice way of remembering Krishna's pastimes in a sort of shortcut form. The whole half of the 10th canto is here in this little book.
So I'll read something from the beginning of the book. In the first verse, he announces his purpose, that he's giving a summary of Krishna's pastimes for the bliss of offering 108 obeisances. And he begins, Brahma Brahman Namami Tam Atmanandi Shvareshvara Nanavatara Krit Krishna Madhurananda Purada. Supreme Lord of the Supreme Truth, I offer my obeisances to you. Supreme Soul, Lord of Nandishra, Lord Shiva, author of many incarnations, O Krishna, embodiment of sweetness and bliss, fulfiller of desires. This Brahma Brahman means the Brahman of Brahman, the absolute of the absolute. And the commentary says this can be understood different ways. Krishna is the origin of all forms of the absolute truth, the Lord of all lords, or if you take Brahma to mean the Vedas, which it can also mean, he is the supreme object described by the Vedas, and he's also the source of the Vedas. So in different ways, Krishna can be understood as Brahma Brahma, the absolute of the absolute. There's more to be said, but I'll move on to the next verse. Jaya Krishna Param Brahma, Jaya Krishna Param Brahman, Jagat Tattva Jaganmaya, Advaita Sachidananda, Swaprakasha Akilashraya. All glories to you, O Krishna, Supreme Absolute Truth, the reality who underlie and pervade all creation, one without a second, embodiment of eternal knowledge and bliss, self-effulgent shelter of all. Everything here is significant. Jaya Krishna, all glories to Krishna. Param Brahma. In the beginning of Krishna Lila Stava, Sanatana begins by offering his obeisances to Krishna in his three different features, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Paramamiti. As the impersonal, all-pervading absolute, as the supersoul in the heart of every living being, and finally, as the personality of Godhead. So here, he identifies Krishna as Parabrahma, the supreme absolute, Jagat Tattva, the reality that underlies the whole Jagat, the whole cosmic manifestation. Yayedam Akilam Jagat. Krishna is everywhere. The whole cosmic manifestation is running under Krishna's direction, and it's nothing other than Krishna. Vasudeva Saramiti, Jagat Tattva. He's the person who gives reality to existence. The impersonalists say, Jagat Mitta, the world is false. Brahma Satya Jagan Mitya. The absolute is real, but the world is false. But the Vaishnavas say, no, the world also is real, because underlying this world is the supreme reality, or it consists of the energy of the supreme reality. So how can you say that it's false? The falsity is that it's not what we think it is. We're thinking it's
eternal, we're thinking it's something we can enjoy, grab onto, and control. That's false. But the substance of the world is not false, because the substance is the absolute truth, Krishna. Prabhupada compared the impersonalists who reject the world as false to jackals. You know, we have in Aesop's fables, the fox and the grape, but Prabhupada tells it the jackals and the jackal and the grapes. Here we have foxes. In India, they have jackals. So the jackal was jumping and trying to get the grapes, and then when he couldn't get them, he said, they're sour anyway, forget it, useless. So similarly, the conditioned souls are trying to enjoy this material world, the resources of the material energy, as Prabhupada says. And then when they fail, they say, it's all false. It's not false, it's just not something they can enjoy. Even the prison is real. May not be the place you want to be. Even a shadow is real. Shadow is real, it's just a real shadow. It's not the real... The shadow of my hand is not my hand, but it's not nothing either, it's something. Or fool's gold. Something that appears to be gold but isn't gold. It's not that it's false, it's just not gold. So... this material world is not nothing, it's something. But it's not what we think it is. So Jagat Tattva, Krishna is the tattva, the reality that is unseen behind everything. He's holding, upholding everything, and existing behind everything. And within everything, what Antavihir Vastitam, he's within everything, he's outside everything. Everything is resting on his energy. So Jagat Tattva and Jaganmaya. Jaganmaya means that he pervades everything. Jaganmaya, Maya, this this affix indicates that practically the entire cosmic manifestation is made up of Krishna. Just like we say, Kruna Mayi, made of mercy. So, or the real meaning is full of mercy, but made of mercy means, if we say, oh, you're just made of mercy, it means not that, you know, somebody took some mercy and put it together and made this person out of it, but it means overflowing with mercy, full of mercy. So, Jaganmaya, the whole creation is made up of Krishna. Or Krishna is appearing in the form of the cosmic manifestation. The Prabhupada said that we're sitting on the floor, but actually we're sitting on Krishna. There's Vasudeva Sarvamiti. There's nothing other than Krishna. So Jaganmaya, what is that? Mayatatam idam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina. In my avyakta murti, my unmanifest form, my unseen form, I pervade everything. Prabhupada gave the example of the business executive who's there in every part of the business, but he's not seen. But his influence is there, his system is there. Perhaps in the current affairs we might think of the government, you know, even when you're checking out a library book, the government is somehow there, seeing what you're seeing what you're doing. So they're becoming more increasingly all-pervading, reading your mail, reading your library record, maybe tracking your conversations with your girlfriend. Everything is, so they're all-pervading in a maybe unfortunate sense. But Krishna is all-pervading in a wonderful way, or wonderful and horrible. Whatever is horrible in this world is a manifestation of Krishna, whatever is wonderful in this world is a manifestation of Krishna. From Krishna's point of view, wonderful or horrible, it's all, in one sense, the same. The whatever's horrible in this world is simply what we've gotten because we wanted all that was supposed to be wonderful in this world. It's not so wonderful, but because we're thinking it's wonderful, we grab it, and so we get that supposedly wonderful thing, along with all the horrors that go with it. That's the nature of the material world. You get the whatever it is, you get your thing and you get the kick also. That's how it's constituted. So the whatever little pleasure you got, that's Krishna, and the kick in the face, that's also Krishna. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. So he's that little bit of pleasure and he's the kick in the face. Whatever you got in the material world, that's also coming from Krishna. So, Jagannaya, he's behind everything. There's no place where Krishna's influence or Krishna's arrangement is not working. He's directing the intelligent person, he's directing the fool, he's directing the intelligent man to be intelligent, the foolish man to be foolish. He's everywhere. Jagannaya, in his unseen form. And Advaita. Advaita means that in Krishna there's no duality. You can't divide him up. Even when he's appearing as Rama, Narsingha, Varaha, Krishna, actually it's one person who's appearing. It's not that he's many different persons, that there's so many different gods, that Nrisimhadeva is one god and Rama is another god and Krishna is another god. Actually, he's one. Advaita Machuta Manadim Anantarupa. Although appearing in Anantarupa, unlimited forms, he's one person. We maybe appear in different forms, you know, on stage you appear as Hamlet, and then you appear at home as, you know, an ordinary guy. You appear at a business meeting as the CEO of this entertainment corporation. But you're one person. But you can't do them all at the same time. You can't be Hamlet and the chairman of the board and a casual guy and play all the roles at once. That doesn't happen. I heard someone was telling me there was something on Broadway where one person was like a one-man show and he was playing different roles or maybe different times in one person's life. He was doing something. But he couldn't do them all at the same time. That's not possible. Hmm? Yadunath? Could have been Yadunath. He does all sorts of things, you know. He's like 17 different guys at once.
They call it schizophrenia.
They call it schizophrenia, right. When Krishna does it, they call it absoluteness. And when we do it, it's called schizophrenia. Anyway, even if we're playing like 7 different roles, we can't play them all at exactly the same time. You know, I have to shake hands and then I have to be on the other side to shake hands. So I move, I shift. But Krishna can do both. He can argue with himself. And not only in the mind the way most of us do, but he can be two people. He can be Krishna, he can be Balaram. And Krishna can say that we have to punish this Rukmi, he's a rascal. And Balaram can say, Krishna, this is very bad. He's become our relative. Now he's your brother-in-law. For you to treat him this way is very bad. And they can go back and forth, disagreeing with one another. One person can disagree with one another. This is the absolute position. But Advaita, he's still one person, undivided. When we find that Krishna's Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan, but he's actually just one. Yajnanam Advayam. There's no duality there, that he's this and he's that, so how could he be this if he's that? For Krishna, there's no such contradiction. Advayam. Advaita. And another meaning of Advaita is one without a second. There's no second person like Krishna. what is that? Natat samascha yadikascha drishyate? We'll find that here. Come on. Natat samascha yadikascha drishyate. I think that's right. In the Vedas it said that no one is equal to Krishna and no one is greater than Krishna. Sama means equal and abhyadika means better. So he's one without a second. There's no second person that's on the same level as Krishna. Advaita and Satchidananda. Satchidananda Vigraha. He's eternal, he's blissful, he's full of knowledge. Satchidananda, by his different energies, Samvit, Sandini, Latini. And Swaprakasha, self-effulgent. Self-manifested. We're manifested from somebody else. But Krishna is self-manifested. There's no other cause for Krishna. You know, we're manifested from our parents, they're manifested from their parents. But Krishna is self-manifest, sarva-karana-karana. He's the cause of all causes. So he simply appears by his own energy. Atma-maya-srajana. We appear or we're forced to appear here. Just like a court summons, you shall appear in court at such and such day, at such and such time. You're forced. Krishna is not forced. Atmamaya. He appears of his own accord. We're forced to appear in a particular body, in a particular country. But Krishna, I'll appear this way, I'll appear this way. Lila. Lila implies that it's enjoyment. What's the word? Independent, autonomous enjoyment. Krishna can do as he likes. Atmamaya Srijana. Atmamaya. Sambhavami Atmamaya. By his own power, he comes. Suprakasha. And Akila Ashraya. Akila Ashraya. The shelter of everything and everyone. The Mahatpadam Punya Yashomaran. What is that? Mahatpadam. Mahatpadam means the whole Mahatattva is at the lotus feet of Krishna. Mahatpadam. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva explains the absolute truth by explaining different categories. There's creation, there's sub-creation, there's maintenance, there's kings, there's dissolution. He gives 9 different categories. Yatrasarga, Visargas, Jana. Second canto it's explained. And then we finally come to Krishna. Who is Krishna? He is the shelter of everything. Everything else is dependent. Creation is dependent on Krishna. Sub-creation is dependent on Krishna. Maintenance depends on Krishna. Destruction also depends on Krishna. Everything, the avatars, depend on Krishna. Everything depends on Krishna, but Krishna is the ashraya tattva. There are 2 things, ashrita tattva, ashraya tattva. The shelter and that which is sheltered, just like you have these bus shelters. You wait under the shelter. So the shelter is giving you some protection from the rain or the snow. And you're the person who's taking the protection. So the shelter and the sheltered. So everything is finally under the shelter of Krishna. Everything is dependent on Krishna. Everything and everyone requires Krishna. Krishna is a necessary principle. Krishna doesn't require us. He can do as he likes, you know, without, if, not that if you don't offer him rice, dal, and chapatis one day, he's going to starve. He's independent. But we depend on Krishna. If Krishna doesn't offer us rice, dal, and chapatis any given day, we starve. We're completely dependent on Krishna. So, akilashraya. Even the scientists are busy talking about, you know, everything's actually dependent on this and this and this, and nature is providing, and the laws of nature, and there's nothing beyond the laws of nature, which we're analyzing by, blah, 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 blah. But where are those things? Why are there laws? You know, why should there be a law? What goes up must come down. Why? Why can't it be, you throw it up and it just stays up? Why this law? Law of gravity, law of this, law of that. It means there's enforcement. Without enforcement, there's no law. Just like there's some law, no parking. But it doesn't matter. Everybody will park there unless there's enforcement. And because there's enforcement, there's a law. Because somebody will come with those yellow clamps and put it on your car, and then you're stuck. Then there's a law. Then there's a law. The laws of nature means why? Or you, sometimes they're called regularities of nature. All right, why is it regular? Why is it that regularly the seasons are coming, day and night? Why, you know, why isn't it, you know, wake up on Tuesday and, you know, well, we decided to skip night because, you know, well, it's always regular. Because someone is enforcing these laws of nature. There's some principle. All right, if you don't want someone, there's some principle. What is that principle? Well, finally, it's Krishna. Because that principle is an intelligent principle. Intelligence means person. So finally, Krishna is there behind everything as the akhilashraya, the shelter of even the cosmic manifestation, the laws of, or regularities of material nature. Everything. And akhilashraya also means that the devotees take shelter of Krishna, or they acknowledge that their real source of shelter is Krishna. The materialist, when he has a problem, he goes to his psychiatrist, he goes to his banker, he goes to his girlfriend, he goes whatever it is. But he goes to some fallible source. Deha patyakalachadi shatpasanyasu asatvati. He's, when he's in problems, he's depending on his body. We depend on this body. But the body is not very dependable. Despite doctors, despite hospitals, despite exercise machines and all of that, the body is not very dependable. Deha, apatya, relatives, sometimes dependable, sometimes not. Kalatra, wife, those who are married, you can tell me, or husband for that matter. Atmasanyeshu, we take all of these are my soldiers, you know, against in the fight for existence or in the fight for happiness, these are my soldiers. Asatshu api. Asat means, finally, that they'll all be wiped out. I may have a good wife or a bad wife, a good husband or a bad husband, good doctor or a bad doctor, they're all going to die. They're all going to die. So I'm taking shelter of a fallible, an army of fallible soldiers. That means I have no shelter. If you have an army of all goofballs, incompetents, guys who will be overwhelmed as soon as, you know, they look good until somebody points a gun at them, and then they all scatter. And then you're helpless. So that's our position, actually. That my body won't protect me. My wife can't protect me. My relatives can't protect me. My government can't protect me. Nothing can protect me. But I'm taking shelter of my government, my wife, my relatives, my body, my intelligence. All right, I may not be very strong, but I'm smart. Your smarts can be wiped out in a second. Therefore, the actual shelter is Krishna. Every other shelter will be wiped out. But Krishna is permanent. Satchidananda. He's not only permanent, but he's full of knowledge and joyful also. We're taking shelter of something which is ultimately temporary and affected by ignorance. And miserable. We could discuss it in so many ways. This body is enough. It's compromised by ignorance. It's certainly temporary. And it's got lots and lots of miseries associated with it. If it's not one, it's another. So, we're taking shelter of something which has got all the wrong characteristics. Temporary, miserable, and ignorant. So Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha, just the opposite, and he's the actual ashram. Therefore in Vrindavan, the devotees are always taking shelter of Krishna. As soon as there's some difficulty, there's some forest fire, or some Keshi demon, or some other demon is coming, then naturally they simply take shelter of Krishna. They simply take shelter of Krishna. Or the devotees take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. Nama Shraya, what is that? Jatane Tumi, Takaha Apana Kaje. Yes. Nama Shraya Kodi, Jatane Tumi, Takaha Apana Kaje. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his kirtan party are in the morning, they're circulating in Namdeep, and they're telling everyone, chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Govinda Madhava Yadava Hari, like that. Chant the holy names of Krishna. And finally, they say, Nama Shreya Kodi, take shelter of the holy name. Nama Shreya Kodi Jatana Tumi, Takaha Apana Kaje. Kaje means your work or your business. Make that your business. Make it your business to take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. That's our ultimately that's our only business. Just like a person, he's working and he's driving to work, or he's taking the train to work. But his driving is not the work. His work is the work. Driving is only something he does for the sake of the work. Not that this is... What do you do for a living? Oh, I drive. Unless you're a driver. Unless driving is what you get paid to do. That's driving to work is only some subordinate supportive activity. So whatever we do in this world, that's not the goal. It's not that my goal is to have a job. That the purpose of human life is to be employed. Or the purpose of human life is to be married. Or the purpose of human life is to have children. Or the purpose of human life is to have money in the bank. Or the purpose of human life is to eat. Or the purpose is whatever. To be educated, or the purpose is to, but there's so many whatevers. Those things are only useful insofar as they may help us to serve Krishna and take shelter of Krishna. Then they're useful. If by working I can maintain my establishment so that I can chant Hare Krishna, then it's all right. Otherwise, if it means I'm maintaining some establishment for being in illusion, then that's not my business. Everything is meant to support this purpose, to ultimately to chant Hare Krishna, just like we have this temple. Why? It's not so that we can enjoy paying the rent. It's so that we can chant Hare Krishna. It's so we can chant Hare Krishna. Everything is for that. We're making propaganda, we're holding festivals, we have a GBC and all of this stuff. Why? Because there are not enough governments in the world. We have to make another one. There are not enough societies. We have to make another one. It's only for this purpose of chanting Hare Krishna and taking shelter of Krishna, or giving people the opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. All of our buildings, all of our cars, all of our all this paraphernalia, our restaurants and our stuff. It's good when they give people the opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. That's the final purpose. Otherwise, without that purpose, it's simply buildings and cars and so on. And similarly, our own personal establishment, without being used for Krishna consciousness, it's just a house and a car and a lawn and a fence and a sink and a kitchen and a toilet and a bed and a floor and some walls. And it's just it's a prison, really. It's just a prison that we lock ourselves into voluntarily every night and then release ourselves. We're like our own. It's kind of a very good situation. Instead of having jail keepers, we're entrusted with being our own jail keepers. We can let ourselves out every morning, and we can lock ourselves in every night. But we have no higher purpose. Someplace it's said that if our house is not used for the service of Krishna or for inviting devotees to come, then what is the comparison? It's like a place where a den of snakes or something like that. Snake holes, I think. It's just a place where snakes live. Morning, Mr. Snake. How are you? There's a whole row of houses full of snakes. And they slither out to work every morning and slither back in every evening. So all of these things have meaning when they're connected with Krishna, because Krishna is Jagat Tattva. Tattva also means truth. Tattva means reality. He is the reality of the world. If you subtract reality, you have illusion. If you take reality out of, you separate something from the reality, you have illusion. Just like this space, when I block it from the light by putting my hand in between, then that's separated from the light, now it's in darkness. So when we separate ourselves from Krishna, the absolute reality, then what is that? There's the illusion. When we put our false ego between whatever there is and Krishna, we get illusion. Now Krishna's Jagat Tattva. Elsewhere it's said that Chaitanya, there's some verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Consciousness. If you cut yourself off from that Supreme Consciousness, you're dead. A body without consciousness is a dead body. So a living being cut off from Chaitanya, just like in the hospital, when there's no sign of consciousness, all right, it's, they bring out the body bag or whatever it is and pack them up. No consciousness means dead. So when we're cut off from the Supreme Consciousness, then we're like dead bodies. And we're in this dead world where there's no truth. Not because the world is false, but because we've failed to recognize the truth. Even the Mayavadis, the world is false. Why? Because you don't recognize the truth. You don't recognize the relationship between this world and the Supreme Reality, so then the world is false. But when you recognize the relationship, then the world is real. Krishna is real, then the world is real. The tree is real, then the fruit is real. So everything is real when it's connected with Krishna. Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavir, Brahmagno, Brahmanahatam. Everything, Sarvakalavinam, Brahma, everything is the Absolute. It just has to be reconnected with the Absolute. So our home, our work, our life, everything becomes Advaita, not different from Krishna, when it's connected with Krishna. So, for that purpose, nama shreya kodi jata nitume takaha panakaji. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message, that your real work is to become Krishna conscious. The other things are just to help, just like we talk about varnashram, social organization according to the Vedic principles. What's its purpose? So that we can have a nice society? Or no, it's ultimately so that people can become Krishna conscious, because that's the purpose of the society. That's the purpose. So that purpose is achieved when we take shelter of Krishna. And Krishna and Krishna Nam, Krishna and the holy name of Krishna, are the same. So our business is to take shelter of this chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, any comments, questions?
I have one question. Sanatana Swami wrote this book. Is it in Bengali and then it was...
No, it's in Sanskrit. Okay, so it's completely in Sanskrit.
Verses are Sanskrit, original verses?
The original verses are Sanskrit verses.
Right in this book.
Yeah. Yes. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita he composed in Sanskrit. The Krishna Dasavatara in Sanskrit. Hari Bhakti Vilas Sanskrit. I think Dasham, the 10th Canto's commentary, I think, must also be Sanskrit. Kaviraj Goswami is writing in Bengali. The Vrindavan Das Thakur is writing in Bengali. But these works by Siddhartha Goswami are in Sanskrit.
You're saying that this world and everything in it, it's not that it's not real, it's that our conception of it is false. But for for those of us who have some bandhan and understand that that is Krishna's energy, and therefore, you know, it is real in that sense. And we understand that, you know, specifically, I'm talking about the living entities. We understand that the soul that inhabits the various bodies, that is real. And in a sense, the bodies, the energy that that comprises the bodies, are real but temporary. What is false is our conception that we are
I'm the body.
So for the pure devotee who sees things as they are, you know, because I've also heard that when you know, if you see a person properly, you know, you can even see them as real. You know, let's say you or me or any of us sitting here, you know, if you see them properly, even though they are embodied, you will see that they are real.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what does that mean?
What does it mean that we see a person as real by spiritual vision? Well, let's see. One first thing is we see that within the body, whatever kind of body, there's the spirit soul, which is eternal and which is of one nature. What is that? Brahmane govihoshtini shuni chayava shupake cha panditai samadarshana vidya vinaya sampanya. A self-realized person sees, he sees a cow, he sees a dog, he sees a dog eater, he sees a human being, a Brahmin. But he sees actually they're all the same because they're soul. So he sees that the real person is the soul. That's one thing. Another thing, from another angle of vision, on the material platform, everybody has different qualities. Somebody's a man, somebody's a woman, someone's good in business, someone's a scholar, someone's a technical guy, somebody's strong, somebody's something. So, from one angle of vision, you say, oh, this is all false. This is all Maya. From another point of view, the Krishna conscious person sees that these are all right, they're temporary attributes, but they're coming from Krishna, and they can be used in the service of the Supreme Reality, then they have value. Not that, oh, you're a businessman, that's Maya. You're a businessman, why don't you give us some money? Or why don't you organize something in our restaurant or our this or our that? You have business skill, that's very good. Or you have some, you're very strong, that's very good. We need some strong man to do some work. Or you're anything. Someone's a good dancer. Then that's, you know, not everyone is a good dancer, but someone, you know, looks good, you know, and if people see him, they, so that's some opulence. Someone's a good musician, that's another opulence. Someone's a good scholar, someone's a good this, someone's, so it's not that we say, oh, this is all Maya. Or Prabhupada was talking to, I think, Burijan Prabhu and his wife. His wife was an actress, and she had some girlfriend who was also an actress. Prabhupada was talking to them. He said, just like this girl, she's beautiful, the friend. Why should I say she's not beautiful? She's beautiful. But that beauty is meant for Krishna's enjoyment, not for my enjoyment. But not that it's false. No, actually, she's ugly, and she's beautiful. But that beauty is for Krishna. Just like Prabhupada, he was surrounded by actually so many beautiful young girls. Everybody in his movement, all the girls were, you know, 16, 18, 20, 22, you know, there were no old ladies in the Hare Krishna movement at that time, all beautiful young girls. So Prabhupada's in this movement, surrounded by at least 50% all beautiful young girls. But he wasn't thinking, oh, now so many beautiful young girls have come to me. He was thinking, here are so many beautiful young girls to be engaged in the service of Krishna. So in that way, we see all these varieties, material varieties. We say, well, this is also something that is created of Krishna's energy and can be used for Krishna's service. Or probably give the example of money. You know, there was some person, he was so saintly, that if you offered him money, his hand would just involuntarily shrink back and disappear behind his back. Prabhupada said, if you offer me money, my hand goes like this. Because he saw that this is Krishna's energy. Not that it's false, but that it's real when it's used for the service of the Supreme Reality. Otherwise, it's the source of illusion. But it can also be the source of dispelling illusion. When you use money to broadcast Krishna consciousness, instead of causing illusion, it dispels illusion. So it's just a question of proper usage. Yes? If the spiritual master is?
Message. If it's so simple, the message. The spiritual message.
If the message is so simple, then what?
Why focus on ritual?
Why focus on ritual? We like the ritual. It's not simply a dry thing. The message is, when you say simply focus on ritual, what do you mean, actually? Rituals? We don't do many rituals. If you want to see rituals, oh, you go to, you know, an old-style Vedic sacrifice and watch them do ritual upon ritual upon ritual. There's so many. Actually, our ritual is very simple. We get together and we chant Hare Krishna. That's our real thing. A few other little things that may be foreign or unfamiliar to you, that may seem like stereotypical activities or ritualistic activities. They're all meant just to support that. Just like there's a purpose behind it. Just like before I speak, then I chant some mantra to offer my respect to my spiritual master. So that's you can say it's a ritual. You know, every time he speaks, he chants this mantra. So it's a ritual that he goes through. Before he speaks, he has to chant a mantra. See, that's what it is. Yeah, it's a, you know, there's step one of the ritual, step two of the ritual, then he gives his lecture, and then he says something else, and then it's over. But the ritual has a purpose. That actually, if I'm speaking, I need to remind myself that it's not, you know, I'm supposed to get up here and say something that everybody will say, oh boy, he's a smart cookie. My duty is simply to give the message that I've heard from my spiritual master. So the chanting of the mantra is to invoke that consciousness. That we're not simply sitting here as a group of speculators and somebody gets up and gives his theory. But it's this process, that first I offer my respect to my spiritual master because he's the source of my knowledge. Does that make sense? Another side is that our rituals have spiritual, they contribute to spiritual awakening. They contribute to spiritual awakening. What's a good example?
Getting up in the morning for Mangalarti.
Yeah, you get up early in the morning and you, I'm thinking of some mundane ritual that everybody performs. Just like if you're walking down the street, you get up in the morning and you see your neighbor. You say, good morning. And the neighbor says back to you, good morning. So what is that? It's a ritual, isn't it? You know, if they say something else, something weird or you know, outside of the standard ritualistic expectation, you'll say, you know, what is with this guy? Or, you know, if you say good morning and the person just walks past you, then, you know, whoa, what's with him? But you perform that little ritual, good morning, good morning. What does that do? That forms a friendly relationship between you and your neighbor. Maybe you don't, you know, regularly stop by at one another's homes for tea or whatever, but in the morning you see one another and you smile at him and he smiles at you and you say good morning to one another and there's a relationship. So these rituals have some value. They establish some relationship or they establish a certain kind of consciousness. So our rituals are for that. And we keep them really kind of minimal. Our rituals are not very... Because we don't go for heavy ritualism. We're more for singing and dancing than anything very fiercely ritualistic. Is that okay? Yes.
when we're feeling particularly angry or depressed or something, it's so easy to take shelter of so many different things.
Mm.
We go work out and just veg out in front of the TV, and then we got on our potato chip prasad for a few hours. So although that might be the best time to take shelter of the Holy Name, it's not the thing I really want to do with that moment.
Mm.
So, but it is the best thing to do with that moment, right?
It is.
How can I train myself to go there? If it's just if I'm not experiencing the shelter.
Good question. We sort of blank out, you know. The question is that we may be in some circumstance where I really need to surrender to Krishna because I'm angry or I'm frustrated or I'm depressed or I'm bummed out, whatever it is. So that's the time when I most need to take shelter of Krishna. And that's the time where I think, well, you know, I'll just watch TV, or I'll go for, you know, 7 bags of potato chip prasadam, or, you know, do something else that, you know, will kind of dissipate that feeling.
Make me feel better.
And that solves the problem. When, you know, so the question is, isn't that when we should be taking shelter of Krishna? And the answer is, yes, it is. And another answer is that, you know, that's the test of our advancement. To what extent? Because we all, under certain, you know, at some point we'll say, all right, you know, I have to take shelter of Krishna. But is it only up to a certain point, or only when it reaches a certain point? So that's a test of our, because we may all have some point where we, you know, we just go into some other space instead of chanting Hare Krishna. Take shelter of our own minds and take shelter of some, you know, the treadmill or whatever it is. So that is a test of, we can see how much we're advancing by how much in such circumstances we take shelter of Krishna. What can we do to take shelter of Krishna more under such circumstances? Good question. The more we're accustomed to doing that under normal circumstances, the more we'll do it in extreme circumstances. If I'm normally accustomed to chanting Hare Krishna, depending on Krishna, thinking of Krishna, relying on Krishna, then when some major thing comes, or semi-major, then if since I'm already, my mind is already trained that way, then it's, you know, it'll follow in that direction. Otherwise, if it's always wandering around, and, you know, why should it take shelter of Krishna? So we're training ourselves in that way. Also, another consideration is that there may be different ways to take shelter of Krishna under such a circumstance. So for someone, it's, you know, just getting out his beads and chanting. For someone, it's, you know, go find a kirtan or, you know, turn on the Harinam and get absorbed in that. For someone, it's pull out a Srimad Bhagavatam and, you know, find an appropriate verse that addresses the subject matter. For someone, it's, you know, something else. There may be different varieties of Krishna conscious shelter. Not that you always have to do the same thing because it's a ritual, because it's stereotypes, because that's what you do. There may be, or you, someone calls up and says, you know, talks to a Krishna conscious friend and says, this is what's going on. And you have a friend that you can rely on to say, well, you know, are you chanting, or you know, some Krishna conscious message for you. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, people go to holy places. When, you know, it gets really extreme and your life is a mess and everything is hopeless and there's no future and every direction you look in there's a dead end. Under those circumstances, sometimes people just go to a holy place sometimes it's, you know, go for a week or a month and get enlivened, and sometimes it's just forget it, I'm going. Vidura, he was the faithful advisor to the Kauravas, his brother, and the others. He was giving the best advice, and finally, because he was giving good advice, his nephew, Duryodhana, totally insulted him. And in the middle of the court, he said, "Who is this enemy? Who let him in here? He's the son of a prostitute, and we should just beat him like hell and throw him out." And that's how he treated his, you know, such a senior, well-wishing advisor. So Vidura finally said, you know, in his mind, "Thank you very much," walked out the door, went on pilgrimage, and didn't come back. So in that way, he took shelter of Krishna. Not by saying, "Well, I'll stay here and I'll chant," or "I'll stay here and I'll read a verse," or "I'll adjust myself philosophically." "I'm out of here. I'm going to the different holy places where I can have Krishna's association and purify my heart of all the gunk that I've got there from associating with these people." So that's another way to take shelter of Krishna, taking shelter of the places associated with Krishna, taking shelter of his name, so taking shelter of the deity, taking shelter in so many different ways. Something else?
Just a point, Maharaj. If you are not totally surrendered to Krishna, then that thought will not come. The thought will come, "Oh, why Krishna made me to go through this?" Then there is no surrender. So if this person is totally surrendered, then you'll always think of Krishna.
Right. Person who's totally surrendered will always think of Krishna. Others will sometimes think, "Why is Krishna doing this
right
to me?" So then that's called partly surrendered. So something is better than nothing. Be partly surrendered. Even the fully surrendered devotee sometimes thinks, "Why is Krishna doing this to me? I'm Krishna's devotee. Why is he doing this to me?" And then he has to think about it. That, you know, Krishna's doing it to me because it's good for me. And Krishna's doing it to me because I'm an idiot. I did so many stupid things that, you know, he's only doing this much to me. I ought to get it 10 times worse, and he's only doing this. He's philosophical, so he thinks of Krishna and then says, "Yeah." And then he surrenders. In that way, a devotee, by taking unfortunate circumstances or difficult circumstances as an opportunity, he remembers Krishna and he makes progress. Someplace it's said, the commentary by one of the acharyas, that the miseries of the material world are custom made for each of us in such a way as to force us to surrender. You know, my misery is a little different from your misery. You get your set, I get my set. Custom designed to help us to cut off all our alternatives and force us to surrender to Krishna. Mm-hmm.
There's an expression, change or die.
Change or die. Good.
But sometimes this test are coming so hard and so heavy that devotees leaving Krishna consciousness even is often seen. So
sometimes the tests are so hard and we fail. That means we're really getting it. That means we're going to be. We fail. We turn our back on Krishna, we neglect Krishna. And then Krishna arranges in such a way, alright, the kid gloves treatment didn't work, then we need to get smacked around. Called learning the hard way.
Doesn't that Krishna knows? I mean, before, that maybe Krishna, you know, gave too much, or the test was too heavy, or how we can see that.
Well, again, it's Krishna gave too much. It was according to our desire. We weren't 100% desiring, "Let me be Krishna conscious." We were, some other desire was there, but let me also cheat, and then it may catch up with us. I know one person, he was working as an accountant, CPA, and, you know, his desire was to make a good living and to produce good results for his company. But he had some other desire there, so he was embezzling money. And then, you know, Scotland Yard came and said, sorry. So then you have to learn the hard way. If you had some other desire other than the legitimate desire, the legitimate desire, you know, you might have sometimes had a tough day at work or something, but now you have a tough day in jail. Maya's tough. We shouldn't mess around. We do, but we shouldn't. And the quicker we can give up our propensity to take shelter of Maya, or to, you know, have to hedge our bets, or to have some second game going on, the better off we'll be. Yaha Krishna Tah Maya Nahiya. The more there's Krishna, the less there's Maya. Anything else? Stop here? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.